We are going to start today's session with Ashiq Ahmed, CTO and co-founder of Deputy. Ashiq is joining us from Australia, and if you are aware of international time zones, you would probably be able to calculate what Ashiq's time zone is. It's really, really late, or you could call it early in the morning, whichever way, but Ashiq has been wonderful in adjusting with our time zone requirements. And thank you, Ashiq, welcome, and it's great to have you.
Thank you, Sumana. It's great to be here. May I add, part of the challenge of growing a business from Australia actually has been sacrificing your sleep from time to time. So yes. Even though it's at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's rather usual for me at times.
All right. Well, let's start by having you tell us what Deputy does.
So Deputy is a employee scheduling and workforce management platform for the hourly paid market or shift workers, which actually happens to be 60% of the working population in the Western economy. So Deputy as a platform allows to do everything as far as the scheduling of the hourly workers, time and attendance, once they arrive at work, the communication and newsfeed. There's a Slack-like feature inside the product. There is tasking, as well as performance management in there. And at the end of it, we integrate all the time and attendance data with payroll product. Payroll products are there so that the employees get paid. So basically everything from a day-to-day touch point of hourly paid employees is handled through Deputy.
And you have bootstrapped this company to $10 million in revenue. Tell us how you did that.
A lot of hard work and sacrificing sleep middle of the night. it actually started with, the product was an in-house invention. We had my co-founder actually started a business of his own in the world of aviation here in Sydney, Australia. And he grew that business from two people to 200 people in the space of 10 years. I came out of college, or we call it university over here in Australia. And I met him as chance had it, and I noticed that quite a lot of his time was spent behind just managing employees and being in aviation, being 24 hours. It was really, really gruesome. Even simple things like if somebody called in sick, it will literally take 3 hours in a day for him to deal with that. I'm like, there's got to be better ways of doing things. So we actually came up with the in-house invention that really allowed us to streamline the business, so much so in the next 3 years, we grew the business from 200 to nearly 1,400 people. And at that point, we realized we have something in our hand, and we took all our learnings and founded Deputy. And then we made that product, we rebuilt it completely from scratch, and over next 2 years, we made it really, really industry agnostic. We found our first customer by, actually it's a friend of a friend, if I can put it that way, in the world of restaurants, and it worked so well. And that customer was rather an early adopter of technology in the community. And it worked so well for them that, they were speaking very highly of it. And basically it's been word of mouth ever since then. One thing that we did not plan for at all, and we got lucky, I must say, is the fact that in the hourly paid world, and we have published a white paper on that ever since on our website, is people only last their job for only 9 months. Every 9 months, they go get a new job. And as they were getting a new job, and they had to go with the old way of doing things, either on pen and paper or Excel or a computer or product, they said, why don't you guys look at Deputy? And that has been one of the things about Intesto, how we've grown our business, as well as some really, really key partnerships that we had, we had done in terms of, I told you that we're doing time and attendance and we're integrating with payroll product. And as we're integrating with payroll products, we built our integration really, really smoothly. And the payroll products started recommending us. And one of them actually was Xero, for example. I mean, Xero recently, you would have heard, in the last couple of days, have reached a million subscribers themselves worldwide. And they have really helped tell the Deputy story, because we solve a massive pain point for Xero customers in terms of how Xero does accounting and how Deputy allows to plug into the accounting and payroll of Xero customers. Almost all Xero customers, if they're running payroll, will be running a solution like Deputy. And at early stage of this company in 2012 and 13, every customer
Xero. Intervene for a second, Ashik. Let's try to help the audience understand the significance of your Xero partnership. So, folks, obviously, Ashik is saying that he got a lot of customers through word of mouth in the beginning, but one of the breakthrough strategies to, you know, really get velocity with Deputy was this partnership with Xero. So you do need to understand the Xero partnership. Xero is kind of like a small business ERP SaaS software, right, Ashik? You know, and starting with Australia, this is an Australian company originally. They have broadened their universe from Australia to outside of Australia. In fact, I would actually like to do the Xero story. I don't think we've done the Xero story yet. But regardless, so it turned out that in that they had a good penetration into segments where there were lots of hourly workers, and as the twain had met, as Deputy and Xero met in certain customers, they started discovering that it was really effective to have those two technologies work together. So Ashik, talk about how the Xero sales force started to sell Deputy.
So Xero, I'll just correct one thing. Xero actually started out of New Zealand, but Australia was their biggest biggest market for that matter. So Xero is a proud Kiwi company. They like to call themselves Kiwi as opposed to Australia for that. what happened was Xero was an accounting and ERP company, and there was a Xero add-on, which was a payroll software company called PayCycle. Xero actually acquired that product and made that part of Xero natively. And they released an API for payroll. And this is the early days of, like, you know, everything being API, I must say. And we developed an integration with Xero. We built it in such a way that the integration would add immense amount of value to the customer. And by value, what I mean is that Deputy was predominantly mobile, where Xero was a mobile as well as a web product or a cloud product, for that matter. And, you know, most of the people who are using Xero for running payroll or the accounting function will probably be running it on the web product. This is 2012 or 13 I'm talking about. But Deputy added so much mobility in terms of, like, you know, how, hey, if I just hired an employee, I can just hire you on my phone. Via API, we will create that product, create that employee in Xero. If the employee then go in and updated their contact details, it will automatically be synced to Xero. Basically, everything that can happen as far as data error or human error in the world of hourly paid employee management was all streamlined. It worked so well that our customers would absolutely love it. When we went and go and do a sales pitch inside Xero sales team saying that, hey, this is how our integration works, this is how we can talk about it to our customers, what would happen is that Xero sales people, as they're talking to Xero customers about Xero, and at the end of a customer or a prospect will go, hey, I have all these people, how do I manage them? Do you have a solution for that? Their answer would be, no, we don't have anything, but we have this partner called Deputy, why don't you check them out? And it will, it completely integrates. It works so well that I can tell you that we used to measure our bounce rate or sign-up rate from different channel. We had literally something like, if I remember correctly, 87% conversion rate if a lead came through Xero. I mean, that was really, really good in terms of prospect to trial or trial to paid, I mean, from an end-to-end conversion point. To the point that in the early days, every second customer here in Australia was coming from Xero. What that meant is the fact that we didn't necessarily need to have marketing team of our own. We didn't need to have a sales team of our own, which actually allowed me to get to that $10 million revenue almost without having to have a massive capital requirement.
So could you talk about the timeline? When did you start Deputy, and when did the Xero partnership kick in gear?
So we started Deputy 2008, end of 2008, and first year and a half was rather the kind of building the product. We'd had our first independent customer in 2010. The Xero partnership we would have launched about 2012, I would say. The company Xero had acquired called PayCycle, we were already integrating with them from 2011. But we started seeing massive results out of the Xero ecosystem from end of 2012 and obviously into 13, 14, and every other year after that.
And before the Xero partnership kicked in gear, how far had you gotten to revenue-wise?
I don't think we would have ever even reached, a million or anything like that at all.
So it was a massive accelerator.
Yep, I hope they don't come for a referral fee. I don't think they will. But anyway, we add immense amount of value to their customer base. Matter of fact, since then we have done other partnership with point of sale companies like Bend, Counter, Square, and when you put the three pieces together of the Deputy, Xero, and a point of sale in the world of retail, in the world of hospitality, it kind of acts like a joint solution. You could go and buy something off the shelf which does everything, but they're not usually as good. Whereas the solutions we partner with, from a customer point of view, what happens is that you're buying the best of three solutions that work together, and we all get out of bed every morning to make our thing the best thing it can be. So at the end of the day, the customer gets the best out of it. I mean, the one way I can put it, I mean, I'm not a marketer. I was never a marketer. Probably I am right now. I had to learn throughout it. But being a technologist, I must say that integration was like a marketing activity. When I went, when we went and developed an integration with another company, be it Xero, be it Gusto, be it NetSuite, or whoever, that integration became a marketing job of its own. So in a product-led growth strategy, that was the marketing piece for us.
Yes, but the truth is, though, these kinds of partnerships, as you know, are few and far between. They don't come that often. And when they come, they can act as a huge multiplier, huge accelerator. But the truth is, they don't come that easily. And one of the tricks of making something like this happen is to have a product that customers are buying. And it seems to me from your story that the customers figured out how to use Xero and Deputy together, and then the Xero partnership happened. There were joint customers first, and then the partnership, actual corporate-to-corporate partnership happened, isn't it?
That's correct. I mean, the truth about it is that you can, I mean, everybody has an API these days. You can go and build an integration with anybody and anything you like. But it's not actually about the integration. You have to put the customer first. You have to understand what value it adds. I mean, part of the story about Xero might be that, hey, this might be the NPS of a customer who uses Xero. This might be an NPS of a customer who uses just Deputy. But when you add, but if you have a customer who are using Deputy and Xero together, their NPS is so much higher. And that's when it made sense. Okay, there's something unique happening, something magic happening, where when these two products work together, it truly makes a big difference in the customer's life. And as a growth hacking idea, by the way, if I can give any tips for those who are entrepreneurs and trying to build something in the marketplace, is that one of the tricks that we did in our web in our product is that we would measure automatically. This the whole thing was automated. I mean, to this day, actually, still automated. That we would find, hey, those who are exporting to the the payroll provider solutions in there, like Xero, and they have successfully exported X number of times. We would automatically ask them to go and write a review on the Xero marketplace about Deputy. hey, we noticed that you're doing this automated. This is completely automated. That happens through intercom via events. And, you know, that started driving quite a lot of, you know, positive reviews as well in the Xero marketplace, which actually, you know, helped us gain more prospect traffic basically into the top of the funnel as well.
Mm-hmm.
So having that positive experience, having the fact that, you know, we can capitalize on that and completely automating it has definitely driven prospect into the business without having to spend any money on things like AdWords or anything out of the line, basically.
But for those of you who are thinking about these kinds of, in the audience, those of you who are thinking about trying to get into this kind of partnership situations, really the trick would be to find a set of customers who are also customers of the target partner that you're going after and trying to establish value in those accounts of how the joint product works and what kind of value you can provide to the joint product. And that is what's going to draw the attention and interest of the larger partner. So back to the partnership strategy question, Ashik, have you been able to do other partnerships like Xero, like other small business ERP providers in other geographies that have significant presence?
Absolutely. I mean, coming out of Australia, doing it with Xero worked really, really well. And as Xero was expanding into other markets, we will be, you know, getting into their slipstream to grow our business with them as well. The other one that has worked really, really worked well with us is a company called Gusto, gusto.com. Mm-hmm. Previously, they used to be called zenperil.com. I remember in 2012 when they, 2013 when they started, 12 or 13, I forgot when exactly, and they had their product but only doing payroll in California, haven't launched their API fully yet. I remember calling Joshua Reeves at least 20 times before he picked up his phone to say, hey, you know, you don't have an API. Can I get access to it? If the API is there, we will go and, you know, build the integration for it and test with it. And we had we were the launch partner for the API. I mean, back then, Deputy was a, you know, 10-people company here in Australia. We didn't necessarily have any funding. Gusto, I believe, they already had $100 million, $80 million in the bank even before they launched. You know, to be a launch partner with the API was massive. Matter of fact, 4 out of 5 customers in the early days here in the United States was coming from Gusto as well. Mm-hmm. So even though we didn't have no market, no marketplace at all, no salespeople at all on the ground. And as a matter of fact, even if you went to Google and Google Deputy, I don't think we even came up till page 5 there in the United States. In Australia, it would come up, but Google. And so people wouldn't just find us. But having that Gusto partnership really allowed us to, you know, get us off the ground. And one thing where, you know, with the product-led growth business, we found that, hey, we were acquiring customers that are small business. Like, you know, they only have 10 or 20 people or 100 people, and they will come into our platform with Gusto. And as they scaled past 100, couple of 100 employees, maybe the small business software did not cater for it anymore. Like Xero did not cater for it because they were becoming a very, very large business. But Deputy as a product could scale from 2 people to tens of thousands of people without any problem. Those customers actually have scaled with us. So we have customers like, you know, Makespace or Maple out of Manhattan. They have a couple of hundreds of employees right now. They started with us coming out of, you know, Gusto. When they were really, really small, but now they have scaled. They are actually sticking with Deputy. It's been fantastic to get that level of growth as well.
Awesome, Ashik. Let's switch gears a bit. You have bootstrapped first to $10 million, and then you raised $25 million in venture funding. Tell us how you went about the fundraising process. Since you're doing this out of Australia, where did you look for money? Whom did you eventually raise money from? And why did you choose that particular VC?
To be honest, Serrano, maybe we wouldn't have raised. I don't think we were even thinking about raise for many years. I mean, as a business, it's going well. And, you know, from a partnership perspective, we were getting good traction in there. We are very, 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 very lean. When you don't have funding, when you actually have to watch every dollar you earn, you have to think outside the box in terms of how you're going to grow your business without having to, hey, let's just check some money and, like, you know, the customer will come. No, it doesn't work that way. That made us very, very disciplined. And you know what? And we doubled down on it. We absolutely doubled down on it. And coming in from the world of aviation, where you know, we had to be really, really vigilant in how we manage our processes, how we manage our expense. I suppose from an entrepreneurial perspective, both myself and Steve were really, really disciplined in how we were spending our money. But something with the partnership channel is the fact that you can only get to that altitude that your partners are, you know, flying at. You cannot, obviously, at one point you end up saturating, you know, 100% of that marketplace or 100% of their customer base, or you're limited by their growth rate, or in certain geographies they're not probably expanding. So, and we knew our product was really, really good. We had really high NPS, and if we are not adopting sales and marketing ourselves, or going above the line to some degree, or even going digital marketing very heavily ourselves, you know, we're leaving money on the table. So, and at the same time, what kept happening is the fact that every single day we wake up here in Australia, and there'll be an email from some VC firm, hey, heard great things about Deputy, you know, love to have a coffee and chat, can we get on a, you know, a phone call? And it just kept happening to the point, like, and I'll just get one of those emails and go, not responding. But we realized that, hey, you know, we're probably doing a disservice to the business and to its full opportunity in terms of just maintaining full ownership. Maybe if we had a partner that understood what we are about, what our vision is about, what our mission is about, because, you know, the product came out of a necessity. It came out of, you know, improving people's lives. It made a massive difference in Steve's life and every employee that worked for Steve in his past business.
Right.
If somebody aligns with those values, this vision. Exactly. So, I mean, there is the number of VC firms that are available here in Sydney. I can probably count them in one hand, to be honest. And we realized that, hey, we can. There will not be shortage of funding, but it's finding the right partner. We spoke with you know, pretty much all the partners here in Australia, VC partners. Then we actually got on a trip. I remember end of October last year, where, you know, I think I did about 27 pitches in 5 days. There was a day that I did about 6 pitches from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night.
And this was in the Bay Area?
Yeah, in Sand Hill Road, as well as, you know, many places in San Francisco. And yeah, I mean, one thing I got out of it, as gruesome it was, I must say that it was, I got a lot of validation out of it, because quite a lot of being in Australia, you know, you're most often, you know, disconnected from the buzz of the valley, other than what you can read in TechCrunch or one of these webinars like this. But going and meeting all these VCs who see up to 5,000 or 6,000 companies per year, and the amount of interest they had shown, you know, it was really, really satisfactory. And then it came down to the fact that, hey, who would be the partner we will go with? Now, there were a couple of term sheets on the table, even by next week when we return to Australia. But there's the OpenView guys. They just showed up in our door. And they showed up in our door with it and sent us a term sheet where they left the valuation field empty. They said, you can choose your own valuation if you want. That was one side of it, but the other side of it is, you know, we truly feel that OpenView are the partners who can understand us, and you know, really get to our business and how it can make a difference in our customers' life. They did a huge amount of due diligence work, they actually were telling things about our customers that we didn't even know. The funny thing is that we only ever had spoken to 3% of our customer base. The other 97% has kind of self-onboarded without having to have any, sales or onboarding hand-holding. But to read some of the testimonials they were, transcribing from their customer interviews was really, really valuable. So I really felt that both as founders, at the end of the day, it's been 8 years of, blood, sweat, and tear to get this company to where it is, and then to find a partner like OpenView who really gets it and understands it has been
I have to interject and say something that I say often to people in the one-on-one program. VCs love to come to the rescue of Victory. So you have put the blood, sweat, and tear to get it up to $10 million in revenue, and then they love to come to the rescue of Victory. They chase you. So this is one thing we seek all the time in our program is everybody thinks that entrepreneurship equals financing. And they immediately, they decide that they want to do a startup and they decide, okay, now I need to go out and raise money. Your story is yet another reinforcement of our philosophy, which is entrepreneurship equals customers, revenues, and profits. Financing is optional, exit is optional. If you do take financing, you will need to exit. But that is kind of the core philosophy of the 1M1M program. And this story, your story, Ashik, is exactly, the kind of stories we want to see over and over again in our program. And we do see, we have companies that are, in about 4 or 5 years have gotten to $4 million with no financing. We have several companies who have gone through the program and are at that stage right now. And they come back and tell me exactly that what you're saying is that, it's been blood, sweat, and tears, but they don't necessarily want to do it any other way. They kind of like it the way they're doing it. And they are all getting calls about, acquisitions or investments and so forth. So that's the other thing I want to tell you all is that do not go to VCs like beggars. Go like kings. So, Ashik's situation is where the VCs are chasing him. And that's the situation that you want to be in, not the other way around. So it's just fantastic to see, what happened in your journey, Ashik. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I mean, this might come as a shocking thing for me to say, but I'll say it anyway. I don't think about for first 2 or 3 years in running Deputy, I knew that even VCs existed.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Coming out of Australia, I don't think even VCs existed, which forced me to, not have that thought in my mind at all, let alone. I mean, I tell you when I first realized there's VCs. In 2011, we did this, Amazon used to run this startup contest, startup challenge, where they would select startups in there. In 2011, we were the APAC winner. So coming out of Asia Pacific, Deputy was the company that was selected. And we came in and then Amazon, as part of that pitch, actually organized a speed dating with the top tier VCs of the Valley. And I had no idea, what's VC?
What this is all about.
I had to really go look at it. What are they talking about? What's going to happen out of that one? I thought I was there for the $100,000 prize money coming out of Amazon and not having to pay for Amazon. But no, that was sometimes ignorance is bliss. I must say that it worked out rather well in the early days for us. But no, my advice is the same thing as you are saying is when you don't have capital, you're working out of passion. You're having to do it the hard way. You're gonna make a lot of mistakes. But I mean, I strongly believe that you actually learn more out of your mistakes than you would do, hearing other people or out of the things that are working. So you just have to try, and not having capital forces you to think outside the box.
And also, I think the truth is that this does take time to find a high velocity path to growth. There's a lot of experimentation. As you discovered yourself, it took you 4 years to get to a million, but after that, things started accelerating with the partnerships with Xero, with Gusto, and so forth. Now, but it took many years before that kind of acceleration happened. And VCs want to go from, you know, 0 to 100 million in 5 to 7 years. If you're doing the whole thing on the VC clock, that clock becomes oppressive. The VCs are not going to wait for 5 years before you get to $1 million in revenue, and they're just not interested in doing that, and that just doesn't fit their model. So on the other hand, if you have done what, if you do what you have done, Ashik, is get to a certain amount of acceleration and then bring in growth capital, that works really, really well. Now, not all businesses can follow that method. Like last week, we had Eric Frankel from MemSQL and SQL, and MemSQL is a fat startup. You know, it was, there was a tremendous amount of, you know, relational database building for big data applications, and that there was like several, probably 18 to 24 months of just pure development with very expensive engineers before that product could go to market. So it's a very different style of business, but in your kind of business, the way you've done it is the textbook case study of how it needs to be done, how it should be done, how it ought to be done. So